So when you're a kid and you get in trouble, there can be this time in between when you know you're in trouble and then the gap between when the punishment comes, right? Sometimes it's not always immediate. When I was in fifth grade in Mrs. Elliott's class, I wrote some really mean kind of gossip notes about this kid in my class and passed them around my class, and they got to all the school. And when I went home that day, my principal told me, "Now, Mark, tell your mom about this before I call her." And so I did, and I was really ashamed, and my mom was so upset. And then, of course, came, you know, the delay. And you guys know what that delay is, right? Wait until your father gets home. Wait until your father gets home. Dad, remember this? Dad's watching the live stream somewhere from Pennsylvania. Anyway, and I was like, oh no, like, I've got this time until, like, the wrath comes through the door, right? Like, please, no. Has anyone been there before? You know, until your mom or dad gets home. To me, what's so interesting about the resurrection accounts of Jesus is that when he comes back from the dead and shows up to his disciples, it's the first time they've seen him. They think he's dead. They think he's been buried. He's still there. He comes back to his disciples. His disciples who betrayed him. His disciples who denied him. His disciples who said they would stay at his side when even the hardest things came, but they left him. They ran away. He came to those disciples, and what's the first thing he says? Peace be with you. I mean, if I was in that room and Christ came back and I had totally left him hanging, I'd be like, oh no, here comes the punishment, the wrath. But it's like almost absent from the Gospels. I mean, if anything, I mean, Jesus is actually, he does give them a talking to about their lack of faith. Like, they're surprised by the resurrection. He's like, guys, I told you this. He's surprised by their lack of faith in his words. Like, that's like the only thing he's upset about. And even Simon Peter, on the shore of Galilee, after the resurrection, he has a literal come to Jesus moment. He sits down with Jesus at the seashore. Peter, who three times denied his Lord. And Jesus gives him a talking to, but it's so gentle. He just asks him, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. It's so different than what I would expect when Christ returns from the dead. He comes back with peace and mercy and forgiveness and gentleness in his resurrection. You know, over Easter, we often hear a lot of homilies that are kind of like, you know, the joy of Easter, Christ is risen, hallelujah. Now go and tell the good news. Like, go and tell people that Christ is risen. And it's true, because if Christ rose from the dead, if he really rose and is alive and is with the Father and with us today, and he is, then that changes everything about my life. Nothing is the same anymore. That's true. And we do want the entire world to know that Christ is risen. And there may be moments where God wants you to say to someone very, like, directly, like, well, God sent his Son into the world to save us, and he was crucified for us, but he rose from the grave, and he loves you, and he's with you. I want you to know that. And that can change someone's entire life. But sometimes we hear, like, go and tell the good news, and we just kind of, like, write it off because, like, you know, yeah, we're kind of, like, happy and enthusiastic in church, but, like, you know, if you are our confirmation candidates, if you go into Rosedale Mall, and you just start walking down the mall, and you're, like, grabbing people, like, hey, guess what? Christ is risen. He's alive. You know, what are they going to say? They're going to be like, weirdo, what the heck? You know, like, it doesn't work too well usually, right? So what does it mean to tell the good news and to proclaim that Christ is risen? Well, we just heard Jesus say that you're going to be my witnesses, and you're going to what? You're going to preach repentance through forgiveness of sins. You're going to preach forgiveness of sins in my name. And when Peter in the first reading is preaching on the day of Pentecost, he tells people, repent and be converted that your sins may be wiped away, like that you're forgiven. And the second reading from the first letter of St. John says, now listen, brothers and sisters, don't sin, okay? Avoid sin. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. He is expiation for our sins. He cleanses our sins. We have this confidence in God. And right there is where we can actually preach the good news in word and deed very, very easily. Because if Christ has forgiven me, then I can forgive others. If he set me free from the slavery of unforgiveness and hate and anger, then I can set others free. And in that way, you preach the good news. How does this happen? It happens by not holding a grudge. Right? When it could be so easy to be like, I just like am so angry with this person for how they hurt me. But to ask God and say, Lord, help me not to hold on to that. Help me to forgive that person in my heart. Help me to be kind to them when I see them, even though I don't like seeing them. You're preaching the good news. Parents, when you bring your children to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation here at the church or somewhere else, when you bring them to God's mercy and you teach them about how Jesus is kind and forgiving and this is how we can experience his love, you are preaching the good news. You're preaching that Christ is risen. In our families, you know, we have a whole bunch of siblings here in some of the front rows here. I see back here by Mr. Gelhausen, this Eli. Eli, don't you have a brother? Eli has a brother, and even though in the Sunsmo household, I know that there's never any conflict there, but if there was, if there ever was with a brother, when that happened, we preach the good news by quickly and frequently reconciling. You know, I'm really sorry for what I said. I shouldn't have done that. Will you please forgive me? I'm sorry about that. I'll try and do better. Let's say a prayer together. That's how you, and anyone who has a sibling here, that's how you preach that Jesus is risen. To not hold sins against others, but to be forgiving, to be reconciled, to give peace. This happens in any way that we can forgive others and be merciful to them. Where so often the world will say, how can you be at peace right now? I would be losing my mind right now over what that person did to me. How can you be like so compassionate, so at peace, so forgiving? Why would you do that? Why don't you just want to punish that person for what they did? And when that question comes, that is the perfect opportunity for you to proclaim that Christ is risen. For you to say, well, it's only because of Jesus. He's forgiven me of everything. He's set me free. And so who am I to hold this against my neighbor? That is preaching the resurrection. Friends, right now in the world, there are so many ways that we as human beings try to punish each other. There are nations right now throwing rockets and missiles and drones at each other in the middle of the night. There are people sending right now today texts to each other, messages of hurt, of pain, wanting to get back at this person, wanting to come off as more superior to this person, lobbing digital missiles and rockets to punish one another. And all these places where human beings try to do this, we need the mercy of Jesus. Without the forgiveness and mercy of Jesus, human beings will simply try and punish each other back and forth until the end of time. In the Middle East, in our families, in our hearts, we need the forgiveness of Jesus. We need the resurrection of Jesus. We need the peace of Jesus. The world needs to find a different way. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want to tell the good news, if you want to be an Easter people, then forgive one another. Be merciful. Be kind. Ask for the heart of Jesus. And when that's hard and when that's challenging, that's when you call upon the gift of the Holy Spirit. My dear young people, I'm not saying this is easy to do. This is why God gives us a sacrament to bear witness to the forgiveness and love of God. To be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, as you will be tomorrow night, so that you can be an Easter people. So you can live a totally different life that's not just living in this world, back and forth, being hurt and hurting others, but being someone who's been healed, someone who's been forgiven, someone who can share the mercy of the Lord. And that is how we proclaim that Jesus is risen.